The Sermon on the Mount, 10, Salt. We've just finished going through the 8 Beatitudes, which show us the kind of heart or attitude we should have if we're going to affect the world. Affecting the world is really the theme of today's and tomorrow's podcast, which are on Christian discipleship. You might say, well, salt, what does that have to do with being a disciple or light? Well, this is really what discipleship is all about. And we'll develop that thought in due course. We tend to think of salt, I do, as a flavor enhancer. Okay, the vegetables are a bit bland and they need some salt. It's something used by anyone who cooks, and even those who don't. Although my preference is pepper, especially if it's crushed red pepper. But see, in modern times, we think of salt in relation to flavor. In ancient times, it was more functional. Salt was used as disinfectant. It was used as a preservative. It kept meat or fish from rotting. And because one couldn't always count on a crop or a harvest or, a lack of famine, having salt was essential. The word salary comes from salt. It's that precious, it's that vital. Now, the passage we're looking at today is this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes foolish, how will it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Matthew 5:13. Well, it's widely understood today, and I think correctly so, that salt preserves things. And in a similar way, Christians preserve the world through their influence. The world is already rotting. The putrefaction is very obvious, but we have an opportunity as we follow Christ to affect the world, to preserve the world of people through our example, through our faith, through outreach, through prayer. And we'll see tomorrow that there's similarities when it comes to us being light. But in this passage, Jesus says we're salt. Now, I'm sure you caught the unusual translation, but I can assure you it was not an error. Most English versions of this passage read, if it loses its saltiness, if it loses its taste, right? But that's actually not what it says in the original. It says if the salt becomes foolish. Now you may wonder, well, that doesn't make any sense. How can salt become foolish? Salt is a thing. It's mineral. It's not a person. Yes, but Jesus is talking about people, and the metaphor refers to people. There's an early Christian, a brilliant Christian named Origen, who's writing in this would probably be the early 200s, and he says this, if the reason in us sins and we do something foolish, then we must be fearful of that statement of the Savior which says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes foolish, it is of value for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled on by men. That is what the passage says. Now, I agree, it's kind of an odd way to put it, but Jesus often used striking metaphors, hyperboles. He was very creative in that way. I know that the early Christians who were more comfortable in Latin, they translated this, and if I remember, I read this in Latin last week, I think it said, if the salt disappears. Well, of course, if it loses its saltiness, its essence, or it disappears, then it's no good. But that seems like stating the obvious. That's just a tautology. The question is, what is Jesus really saying here? Well, Paul uses the same word for to be foolish. It's the Greek word morino, when he describes how people have turned away from God in Romans 1. They became vain in their imaginations, their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God, etc. I think you're familiar with that passage. We have similar thoughts in many other scriptures, but how about even in the Gospel of Matthew, where we're spending time right now? Jesus used a form of merino in describing the foolish person who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. That's the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the man who builds his house on sand, Matthew 7:26. Later on in Matthew, Jesus uses that same word to refer to the five foolish virgins. Remember, the bridegroom was coming. They didn't know when. They were simply told to be ready, and five of them have the oil for their lamps, and five don't. And it ends up in Jesus saying, the bridegroom says, I do not know you. So if we, as like salt, become foolish, then Jesus cannot use us. We're not fit for anything but for him to cast us out and for us to be trampled underfoot by men. And I don't think that means we're literally trampled underfoot by men any more than the pigs and dogs who trample us in Matthew 7 are referring to the animals. It's talking about people. And I think the warning is not to lose our distinctiveness, but I think we can go further. Jesus is urging us not to lose our identity. Let's not make discipleship about attending meetings and counting conversions, about stats and a bottom line. Discipleship is about our spiritual influence, the attitude we have towards our Lord, the kinds of attitudes we saw in the Beatitudes, and the impact, when we live that way, it has on others. And salt doesn't just add taste and interest, it is preservative and it is necessary for life. So what are we supposed to do with this? Well, be spiritually wise, not foolish. Secondly, be conversationally strategic and gracious. Paul tells us in Colossians 4 to be gracious in what we say and to make sure our conversation is seasoned with salt. That's what we need to do. This is a passage about discipleship and about having an impact. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the powerful and memorable words of Christ. We long to be salt of the earth. We long to have an impact. We struggle knowing how to do that, especially when we say the wrong things, or we make foolish decisions, or we sin. We don't want to be that way. We want to represent you, even if it means that we'll be persecuted, even if we'll be misunderstood. We truly want to be the salt of the earth. Keep us from folly. Give us wisdom. Lord, we know you are our wisdom. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tomorrow, we'll be looking at light.